Good afternoon, 4:30 and 65 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
Every time we've passed a law to enable heroin use in Kentucky, the problem's gotten worse, and it continues to get worse.
State Senator John Schickel says the Kentucky legislature has done a horrible job battling opioid abuse and should crack down on dealers next year. Human remains are found on a farm in Salt Lick, and Governor Bevin promises to address gun violence in Kentucky. In sports, Moorhead State's men's basketball team hosts Northern Kentucky tomorrow night. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Showers this evening, low in the mid-50s. The complete forecast after this news. Kentucky State Police are conducting a death investigation after human remains were found Monday in Bath County. The remains were discovered by a landowner on his farm near the Salt Lick exit of Interstate 64. Trooper Scott Farrell says the KSP is not ready to say yet if they belong to Crystal Warner, a Northern Kentucky woman who went missing this past summer.
We're not sure. We actually have a missing person case out of Bath County as well, and several in the surrounding counties. You know, we've notified all the agencies with missing persons to get us the information that they can, try to help identify who it might be. But as of right now, we're not sure, you know, if it's male or female or who it could be yet.
Farrell says the cause of death is also still undetermined. Warner went missing along with her boyfriend Bobby Jones in July. Jones's body was recovered several weeks ago near the area where the remains were found Monday. They've been sent to the state crime lab in Frankfort for further examination. Governor Bevin says a rising tide of gun-related deaths in Lexington and Louisville is heartbreaking and demands action. However, the Republican says Kentuckians should not expect Frankfort to solve the problem.
Time is of the essence, literally. It's a life and death situation. It's not lost on me what's happening at all, not even a little. And I believe in being hands-off as much as possible, hands-on as much as necessary. It's becoming evident that there needs to be some hands-on from the highest levels of government in this state to address this issue.
The governor says he's ready to do that, but he cautions that anyone who believes new regulations will fix the problem is delusional. The head of the Kentucky Fire Commission says the hundreds of firefighters from around the state who've been battling wildfires in the southeastern part of the Commonwealth have been demobilized. According to Ronnie Day, last week's rains put enough of a damper on the fires in Pike, Perry, and Harlan counties to allow those working alongside firefighters from the Kentucky Division of Forestry to go home after several weeks. Day adds that most of the division's crews have also been told their work is finished.
They still have crews that are monitoring some of the fires and just walking the lines and making sure that, you know, nothing has rekindled. Logs and trees, you know, sometimes will burn and they'll fall across a line, and then you've got to go back in and redig it. But for the most part, they've got everything taken care of.
Day says there is still one fire near Somerset that continues to have the attention of the division's firefighters. The Moorhead News is reporting that a 36-year-old Webville woman has been indicted on charges that she tried to smuggle Suboxone into the Rowan County Detention Center. Sandra Hatfield was indicted by the Rowan County Grand Jury after deputies claimed she attempted to bring 3.5 strips of the drug into the Moorhead lockup. The incident is said to have occurred October the 8th. State Senator John Schickel says the Kentucky legislature is partly to blame for the state's heroin epidemic. The Union Republican chairs the Senate Licensing and Occupations Committee. He claims the General Assembly has made it easier for heroin peddlers to sell their product in Kentucky.
We've done a horrible job, and the newspapers and all the happy talk people want to think we've done a good job, but we haven't done a good job. We've done a horrible job. And I don't think people know that in 2011, the legislature reduced the penalty for trafficking in heroin, and we've never put it back to where it was.
Schickel says he'll sponsor legislation next year to impose tougher penalties on drug traffickers. Kentucky's senior senator says the nation's highest court has already decided the flag-burning issue. Republican Mitch McConnell was asked about it at a press conference in Washington this afternoon. President-elect Donald Trump tweeted earlier today that anyone who burns an American flag should face unspecified consequences, such as jail or a loss of citizenship. McConnell says the matter has already been litigated.
The Supreme Court has held that that activity is a protected First Amendment right, a form of unpleasant speech. And in this country, we have a long tradition of respecting unpleasant speech. I happen to support the Supreme Court's decision on that matter.
McConnell was also asked about Trump's claims that there was massive voter fraud in the presidential election. The senator says the discussion is irrelevant. McConnell explains Hillary Clinton conceded and Trump won, so it's time to move on. A member of Moorhead City Council says the community's infrastructure will need some attention as it plans for the future. Carolyn Franzini made the point following a joint meeting Monday between council and the Rowan County Fiscal Court. The two governments discussed census projections, which show Rowan is one of the few eastern Kentucky counties expected to add population over the next 15 years. By 2030, Rowan County could have as many as 27,000 people, which is about 4,000 more than it has now. Franzini says that'll require improvements to its work corridors.
Many of our roads that were adequate when they were built, they were narrow, now need to be wider. Cars drive faster and there are more cars on it. So when we look to the future, we are thinking of how can people navigate to work safely.
Some of the roads cited as needing upgrades include State Routes 377 and 32. In responding to a summer survey, over 2,000 Rowan Countyans offered their opinions about future recreation programs and facilities for the area. Those ideas were presented during Monday's joint Moorhead City Council-Rowan County Fiscal Court meeting. The top suggestion was the building of a water park to replace the community pool, which closed in 2014. Requests were also made for outdoor running, biking, and walking trails, an indoor fitness center, and more playground areas. David Morris directs Moorhead's Parks and Recreation Department and sits on the joint City-County Recreation Committee. Morris says the group will now build an action plan around the information it has received.
Ultimately, we're going to come back to the citizens in terms of a public forum and come back to our city and county officials again and try to present a plan for what exactly is needed.
Morris says the committee's public forums will be held sometime after the first of the year. Russell City Council says it needs more time to make an expensive decision. Here is MSPR's Chaz Jenkins.
The Ashland Daily Independent reports after a presentation given on Monday by AECOM consultants, the Russell City Council voted unanimously not to commit to a proposed $385,000 phase of the Kenwood sidewalk project. This part of the work calls for the sidewalk to connect between Cardinal Road and Kenwood Drive. Mayor Bill Hopkins says it's clear the effort will be costly for the city and the council needs time to make sure that it's a good use of taxpayer money. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Kentucky's craft brewing industry has grown by 600% over the past 5 years, and a member of the Kentucky Guild of Brewers says that's nothing short of phenomenal. Daniel Harrison owns and operates Country Boy Brewing. He told a panel of state lawmakers meeting Monday at Turfway Park in Florence the economic impact for Kentucky is $495 million.
Kentucky's craft brewers export to 38 states and another 12 countries, and growth in production amounts allow greater economies of scale and increased efficiencies for Kentucky craft producers. In 2017, we were able to project to produce at least 40,000 additional barrels over 2016 production totals.
The Guild says the Kentucky workforce also grew by more than 265%, nearly 600 people. are now employed in the craft brewing industry in the Commonwealth. The commissioner of the Kentucky Department of Financial Institutions told state lawmakers in Frankfort today he's concerned about consolidation in the banking industry because it is reducing employment in financial services. Charles Weiss testified before the Interim Joint Committee on Banking and Insurance. He says the number of banks in Kentucky declined from 154 in 2012 to 137 in 2015. In addition, Weiss says banks with assets of less than $100 million have whittled from 43 to 31 over the same period.
A lot of our banks in smaller towns purposely operate with more employees than they need. You go down, sit down with the president and discuss that with them and say, hey, even point that out. And the response I always received, and I absolutely love this response, is we know that, we understand that, and we do that for a reason. Number one is we're the second largest employer behind the Board of Education, and we feel that it's upon us to provide economic activity and job employment opportunities for people that live in our community.
Weiss says Kentucky banks currently employ nearly 12,000 people. On Thursday, the FCC will add broadband as a new option for one of its Lifeline programs. The initiative helps lower-income households in Kentucky by covering the cost of either their landline or wireless telephone service. Kentucky Public Service Commission spokesman Andrew Melnikovich says the FCC's move will change how eligibility for Lifeline is determined.
The idea is not to kick people off the Lifeline program. It's to simply streamline the verification process to make sure that there isn't fraud and abuse going on in the program.
Melnikovich says that other programs like SNAP and Medicaid are still being used to determine eligibility. Well, the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says it is winter ready. Paul Miles has that story.
Kentucky Transportation Secretary Greg Thomas says,
we are ready. The salt is in the barn.
A supply of 431,000 tons of salt. Highway engineer Patty Dunaway.
We have a brigade of trucks with their plow blades, about 980 strong.
The state also has 450 contract trucks available for any snow and ice events this winter. I'm Paul Miles.
And finally this afternoon, new managers are working to ensure that the Kentucky Music Hall of Fame, which had been low on cash under the leadership of a thieving director, is no longer in danger of closing. The Lexington Herald Leader reports that the facility was in dire straits last year as visitation was down and costly maintenance was needed. Former executive director Robert Lawson was also accused of stealing tens of thousands of dollars from the hall. He pleaded guilty to two theft charges earlier this year. New managers took over in July as the facility was transferred to the control of the Mount Vernon Rockcastle County Tourist Commission. The commission has since diverted money from other needs to prop up the hall, and officials are now focused on boosting income. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area. Widespread showers and scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows in the mid-50s. The chance of rain is 90%. Wednesday, warm. Widespread showers and scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then scattered showers in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s. The chance of rain is 80%. Wednesday night, cooler, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers in the evening. Lows in the mid-30s. The chance of rain is 20%. Thursday, look for partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-40s. And Thursday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, with lows in the lower 30s. Around the region, it is 67 in Ashland, 62 degrees in Flemingsburg, 66 in Inez, 64 in Lexington, 63 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 65 degrees. 445, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. And it is great to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, many communities in the Commonwealth have moved to protect LGBT residents by enacting fairness ordinances. But one well-known Kentucky gay rights advocate says the November elections have put those gains and others in jeopardy. Josh James has more.
Fairness Campaign Director Chris Hartman heads to the nation's capital this Friday to report on the state's role as a leader in organizing rural LGBT communities. But he says the meeting of the White House Rural Council will take place in a climate of trepidation for his group.
We're going to have a multifaceted, multi-front fight on our hands in the Kentucky General Assembly.
Hartman points first to one piece of legislation he's confirmed will make another appearance in 2017, Senate Bill 180, which would permit business owners to decline to provide services that conflict with their religious beliefs. The measure proved a non-starter in the democratically controlled House in March, but that seems likely to change when Republicans claim their supermajority in January. In next year's short 30-day session, Hartman predicts a flood of bills aimed at challenging the initiatives his group has championed.
States like Oklahoma this year faced 21 bills. Other states, Texas, I think, had more than 40. This year, Kentucky had more than half a dozen anti-LGBT bills.
But supporters of those measures argue they're necessary to protect small business owners and privacy rights. Hartman's organization and its allies warn that passing them could make Kentucky the next North Carolina, a state which faced significant corporate backlash for overturning discrimination bans. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
447, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Coming up at 5 o'clock, the latest national and international news on All Things Considered. That's at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on MSPR. Braxton has sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated and Morehead's annual hometown holiday weekend, December 1st through 3rd. The Morehead Rowan County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 1st at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Events continue on Saturday, December 3rd with the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Morehead State University. Hometown Holiday on Main Street and the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra concert at the Morehead Conference Center. More events and information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After going 0-3 on their recent road trip, the Morehead State basketball Eagles are looking forward to playing at home again. They'll face Northern Kentucky tomorrow evening at Johnson Arena. Acting head coach Preston Spradlin says while it's big for MSU to get back on its own floor, the Eagles will have to play well to beat the 3-3 Norse.
They always play us tough. They played us. They beat us here on our floor 2 years ago. Last year they played us tough up there at their place. So this is a game that they're looking at like it's a good opportunity for them to get to play a like opponent on the road, and we're looking at it the same way, except we're at home.
MSU's game tomorrow night with Northern tips off at 7 o'clock. After dominating Kentucky Christian last night 100-52, the Morehead State women's basketball team are facing a flip in the script. After being heavy favorites against the NAIA Knights, Coach Greg Todd's Eagles will be huge underdogs tomorrow night when they visit number 16 West Virginia.
So we've got to go and now be able to reverse where we're at more disadvantages, but still from a mental standpoint, whether you're bigger, faster at positions or not, it's still more about the mental part of it. Physically, you're not going to change what you have physically.
The MSU women will carry a 5-2 record into Morgantown tomorrow night. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari seems pretty happy with his top-ranked team right now. The Wildcats improved to 7-0 with a 115-69 rout of Arizona State last night in the Bahamas. In doing so, Coach John Calipari's group held the Sun Devils to 34% shooting, out-rebounded them 59-33, passed out 33 assists, and hit over 52% of their shots.
How now do we take this to another level? We came down here. Some of you were in the open practice. We practiced for an hour and 15 minutes. We got after it. This team competes. Like, I need to do less drills because they compete, and that's what I'm doing.
Freshman De'Aaron Fox last night had just the second triple-double in UK history. He had 14 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. The Cats host UCLA on Saturday. The 2016-17 high school basketball season is now underway. West Carter travels to Fairview tonight to open up its season. The Comets are among the favorites to win the 16th region championship this year, and head coach Jeremy Webb says his team is excited about getting the season going.
this group has played together for so long. I've got five seniors there that have played a lot of basketball. I'm going to be starting five guys that have played a lot of basketball. So I think they're hungry. I think they're excited to get out and start playing some games and playing against some people and just to just see where they stack up against amongst the rest of the competition.
Some other games in the area tonight. East Carter visits Lawrence County. Ashland Blazer is at Lewis County. Johnson Central battles Greenup County. And Raceland takes on Elliott County. Looking back at the 2016 campaign, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says it was a season of missed opportunities for his 4-7 Eagles. Tenier says while there were some bright spots, inconsistent play cost MSU dearly.
I think one thing that stands out, number one thing, is last year we were plus 13 turnovers as a football team. And this year we're minus 10 at the end of the year. The other thing is we gave up 8 non-offensive touchdowns this year. You know, that's special teams and then obviously offensive turnovers.
Tenier says while the numbers don't lie, he believes the problems he noted are repairable. Following its big upset win over number 16 Louisville last Saturday, the biggest question remaining for the Kentucky football team is what bowl game the Wildcats will play in. Head coach Mark Stoops says which bowl doesn't matter to him. He's just excited to keep coaching his team.
This team was fun to coach from the beginning. We knew we had our flaws, but when you have that kind of attitude, good things will happen sooner or later. And, I'm just very happy for that group. I'm very happy for the seniors, for this team. You know, they deserved it. They're a great group to coach.
Most predictions have the Cats playing in either the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, Nashville for the Music City Bowl, or in Jacksonville for the Tax Slayer Bowl. Bowl games will officially be announced this Sunday. The Cincinnati Bengals dropped their third straight game this weekend with a 19-13 loss at Baltimore. At 3-7-1 on the year and now in third place in the AFC North, the chances of the Bengals making it back to the playoffs aren't looking good. But head coach Marvin Lewis says his team isn't out of the race just yet.
As I told our guys, now we need help. We've been able to control it ourselves. Now we need some help. But things aren't lost. It's not done. We just got to. Now we need some help. And but we obviously got to do it. We got to do our end now, and that's we got to win the last five ball games if we have any chance to go to the playoffs.
The Bengals host Philadelphia this Sunday. And finally, in sports, the Cincinnati Reds front office is preparing for the start of baseball's winter meetings next week in National Harbor, Maryland. According to MLB.com, Reds beat reporter Mark Sheldon, vice president of baseball operations Dick Williams, and his crew will go there with some key goals in mind.
They do have a list of things they'd like to accomplish. They would like to add some bullpen help. They would like to make some upgrades to their bench and perhaps take a look at what the veteran starting pitcher market is like so they can add a potential fifth starter without spending a whole lot of money.
Baseball's winter meetings will run from December the 4th through the 8th. One other baseball note, Yonas Cespedes and the New York Mets have agreed to a four-year, $110 million contract. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Northern Kentucky tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and women's basketball welcomes Lipscomb at noon Saturday. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com. It is 4:53. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke Caspin keeping track of the business news for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher, led by healthcare and real estate as investors digested falling oil prices ahead of a key OPEC meeting, as well as economic data. And at the close, the Dow did finish with a small gain of 23.7 at 19,121.6. The S&P 500 was up 2.94 at 2204.66, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 11.11 at 5379.92. The broader market was a bit weaker, with New York Stock Exchange breadth roughly 15 to 14 in favor of losing stocks over winners. West Texas Intermediate futures for January delivery dropped almost 4%, settling at $45.23 a barrel. OPEC is set to meet in Vienna, Austria tomorrow, and traders will be keeping a close eye on announcements regarding an oil production cut. In September, OPEC had outlined a deal to cut output by approximately 1 million barrels per day. Now, of course, there is a real question on whether OPEC will succeed in such a cut. In economic news, the reading on third quarter GDP came in at an annualized rate of 3.2%, above a previous reading of 2.9%. Other data released today included the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index, which showed U.S. home prices gained about 5.5% in September. The Consumer Confidence Index for November came in at 107.1, which was well above expectations. In the Treasury markets, the two-year note traded at 1.1%, while the benchmark 10-year yield finished around 2.3%, and the U.S. dollar slipped about 0.3% against a basket of currencies. In overseas trading, European equities closed mostly higher, with the Stock 600 Europe Index gaining about 0.3%. Asia was mostly negative, with the exception of Shanghai, which was up about 0.2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were United Health Group and Boeing, and your worst performers were Chevron and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Alexion Pharmaceuticals and Centene, and the worst performers were Mallinckrodt and Freeport-McMoRan. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.49 at $114.48, CSX up 13 cents at $34.80, Marathon Petroleum down $1.07 at $45.98, AEP up 37 cents at $61.27, AK Steel down 16 cents at $8.94, and Community Trust Bank was up 25 cents to finish at $42.65. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And here is a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Widespread showers and scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows in the mid-50s. The chance of rain is 90%. Wednesday, it'll be warm with widespread showers and scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then scattered showers in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s. The chance of rain is 80%. Wednesday night, look for cooler conditions, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers in the evening, lows in the mid-30s. The chance of rain Wednesday is 20%. Thursday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-40s. Thursday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 30s. Friday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-40s, and Friday night, cold. Partly cloudy with lows in the upper 20s. Around the region, it is 67 degrees in Ashland, 62 in Flemingsburg, 66 degrees in Inez, 64 in Lexington, 63 in Winchester, and 65 on the campus of Morehead State University. That's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. From WUKY, Josh James, and from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 VH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, MSPR News.